Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. One of my mentors and friends, Pastor Chris Nelson, used to say that Pentecost, which we celebrated last Sunday, was one of his favorite days of the church year because we remember the gift of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. He went on to say that he always loved to preach about how this small group of disciples and friends of Jesus burst out of the upper room to proclaim the lordship of Jesus, not being allowed to keep this gift to themselves and not being allowed to stay cozy and comfortable, but instead seeing their community grow from 120 people to more than 3,000 in one day, and these people who spoke different languages. But just as God worked in the lives of the first generation of Christians and used them to share the gospel with the world, I have no doubt that God is still at work through the Holy Spirit using us to share the good news of Jesus Christ in word and deed with our world today. A story goes that one Sunday morning, a man went into a church for the very first time, expecting some dramatic things to happen, because after all, he heard about us Christians. He walked around the church picking up the newsletter and a few pamphlets. He read in the bulletin insert about the Capital campaign, some upcoming educational and service opportunities. He enjoyed the worship service, the music, and the sermon. And then he came back for several more Sundays. Finally, just a little disappointed, he went up to the pastor after the service and he said, "Okay, when do you do it?" "Do what?" the pastor asked. "Well, you know, the stuff," the visitor said. The pastor was puzzled, and he said, "What stuff?" And the man responded, "You know, the stuff in the Bible, multiplying loaves and fishes, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind. That stuff. When do you do that stuff?" "Oh," the pastor said, "we don't do that here. I want you to understand, we believe those things, we pray about those things, but we don't do those things." Well, the man turned away sadly. He left the church and never came back. And you know, I can understand the pastor's intent in that story to be modern and reasonable and rational, can't you? He didn't want to claim anything unbelievable. He wanted to be inviting to those of common sense. But frankly, he misrepresented us because, well, we do that stuff here. Jesus promised his disciples that he would grant them the Holy Spirit and would allow them to do greater things than he had ever done. And so we have. Sharing in Christ's Spirit, we Christians have not only multiplied loaves and fishes to feed a few thousand people on a hillside, we have spread around the world by sponsoring agricultural programs and farming initiatives. And sharing in Christ's Spirit, we have not only reached out a hand to touch and heal a leper or a paralytic to the most oppressed and desolate places, but we've built hospitals and clinics and sent medical workers to these places in the world just to offer healing and hope. Here in Minnesota, Lutherans founded the Fairview Hospital System, and of course, Lutheran Social Service, which focuses on children and families, seniors, and the disabled. Sharing in Christ's Spirit, we've not only given sight to a man born blind, we've opened the eyes of millions of people through educational institutions in third world countries. And here in Minnesota, Lutheran immigrants established four of the finest liberal arts colleges in the state, Augsburg in Minneapolis, Concordia in Moorhead, Gustavus in St. Peter, and St. Olaf in Northfield. Also, Luther Seminary. And many churches operate daycare centers, preschools, and parochial schools. So yes, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, all that stuff we Christians do. We do it day in and day out. And what's the simple explanation for our ability to do all of that? We all share in the same Spirit. Our English word spirit is a translation of an ancient word for wind or breath, and it implies really active, powerful, life-giving, life-directing force. So you can imagine that when God's Holy Spirit or wind or breath comes sweeping into a room full of people and we inhale it, there's just no telling where we might be guided. Jesus' little group of followers should have been out with everyone else celebrating Pentecost, the Jewish holiday that fell 50 days after Passover. But being visible and vocal followers of Jesus so soon after his crucifixion still put them in great jeopardy. So the disciples had been quietly in hiding. They huddled together, awaiting the very worst. But that's not what they got that day. They got, we're told, God's very best. Because hidden away there, what came to them was the sound from heaven like a rush of mighty wind. And tongues of fire appeared upon them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with God's Holy Spirit, God's breath. And they were then conscripted into doing God's work in the world, and they were never the same again. Many of us can't remember that moment that we were baptized, but we can celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit and being adopted into the family of God through the life-giving waters of baptism. And when the Holy Spirit dwells within us, anything is possible, like it was for those frightened disciples. I think we can say with certainty that three things are absolutely going to happen when the Holy Spirit is present. The first is, we're never alone. God is always with us, and we as the church have each other. We share a common spiritual bond. Our lives are more vital, rich, and hopeful because of the fellowship that we share with one another. When the Holy Spirit draws us together, we are no longer alone. The second certainty is that the Spirit's presence brings empowerment. The Apostle Peter is a perfect example. Peter was one of the disciples fearfully huddled in the room that morning of Pentecost. But on the night of the crucifixion, Peter denied Jesus and failed to live up to his boast of loyalty. But from the day of Pentecost onward, Peter was on fire with the good news that the Holy Spirit enabled him, and no one could have misunderstood him. So yes, when the Holy Spirit is present, we're never alone, and we are uniquely empowered, and fear falls away. And the third certainty is realized. Brokenness starts to mend. As the Spirit came at Pentecost, people from all over the world gathered around the disciples, and each heard the disciples speak in their own language. Barriers were overcome. Differences dissolved. Divisions disappeared. Understanding flourished. As we, the church, share the grace of God with one another and with the world, people's eyes and ears and hearts are open to one another. We share the grace that sustains us. It's what God has always wanted for us. And as we grow in faith, we see our own lives become more purposeful, more significant, more Spirit-led, and Spirit-filled. So just as the disciples of old were filled with the Spirit and gathered for fellowship, teaching, prayer, and the breaking of the bread, we do the same today. This is a meal breathtaking beyond words, filled with mystery, because Christ promises to be here. So come, believing the promise, I am here. I am present with you right now, really, truly present. It can make all the difference in your life. Amen.